Penske to get with him in a 1947 Packard and drive to Key West, Florida for the very first time. Needless to say, my life took a big and wonderful change towards South Florida, which has a lot to do with why I'm standing here today. Thank you, Jerry Jeff. I also want to thank whoever came up with this cool outfit. It's kind of like a Mardi Gras costume with a purpose. And I'm a child of Mardi Gras. And my daughter, Savannah, a former student here, bought me these great flip-flops. It's a long way from that Catholic school uniform I used to have to wear. So the one thing that I know about speeches, and particularly this one, is it will be short. Multiply the amount of minutes that are in 2.5 songs, and you're going to get close, all right? Because you have parents to see, friends to tweet, Instagram to post, and parties to attend. Before the first nugget of the new chapter in your life appears in the form of a cardboard box in your room that you will have to fill with the souvenirs and memories of your great times at this great university before you sail out into the ever-elusive future. Remember to pack before the party. You don't want to do that. I'm sorry that I won't be able to attend any of these celebrations or help you with the packing, but this honor you have bestowed on me affords me not only the opportunity to offer a few thoughts that might be of some help in tackling that ever-elusive future, but also allows me to catch the incoming tide over on Elliott Key and maybe trick an ever-elusive bonefish onto my rod. South Florida has come and been on my song line for a long, long time. When my parents brought my sisters and me here on a vacation from South Alabama many years ago. Parrot Jungle, Flipper, Seaquarium shows, we did them all. Those shows ignited my dreams of being a dolphin trainer, an aspiration that actually stayed with me until high school when thoughts of college came into play. My first choice at that time was to go back to Miami to the University of Miami. I wanted to be a major in marine biology, and I wanted to be Dr. Shepard with a southern accent. Well, that didn't work out. The closest I got at that point to being a student at the University of Miami was in a strip mall on Ponce de Leon across from a baseball stadium, where in the winter of 1971, I played for the first time ever in the state of Florida for money. Opening for Vince Martin and Fred Neal in the now infamous Flip Coffee House, the present-day home of the Titanic Restaurant and Brewery. Is it good? Is that okay? I'll check it out. I lived in Coconut Grove, and I'd never seen anything like it. From the first time I rode my bike to the Grove drugstore, I was umbilically connected to the temperate zone. And it was in those early Grove days that I discovered my Caribbean soul that I could barely control, and Miami always found a home in my heart. This university was a constant backdrop to the dreamscape of my early days in South Florida, changing latitudes and attitudes as I traveled up and down US 1 between work in Miami and home in Key West. Miami started out as a trading post. Now it's the capital of the Caribbean. I started out as a bar singer in Coral Gables, and I got a doctorate degree. Hey, I like to. You have to love that kind of evolutionary process. Sure, some things change and others do remain the same. Back then, before instant gratification was the norm, I made many stops along the overseas highway to get a fresh grouper sandwich and some conch fritters and use a payphone. What? There is gone a stick shift these days, and I'm probably a thing of the past, but the grouper and the conch fritters are still as good as ever down the overseas highway. As I look out on this crowd this afternoon, it just reconfirms the words to another sermon that I wrote, inspired by the geography of the people of this region, that everybody does have a cousin in Miami. And they are all here today. You graduates know that better than we do. So when I got a letter from Donna inviting me to come speak to you, I had to stop and ask myself, about what? It's not my nature to live in the past or to do speeches. I will borrow for things because I've seen a lot and I've done a lot. I've read things and met people who have had a big difference on my life and 67 and a half trips around this sun. And I thought maybe I could share a few of those stories with you. But I'm always looking for what lies ahead. Of course, I've fallen off of a few horses along the way and stages. There was Australia. There was that Jamaica mistake thing down there. And at the time that I tried to do a somersault in my seaplane in Nantucket Harbor. But I am still here. I don't know why. But maybe that's what you get for being born on Christmas. That could be my best friend. But as a sailor, I see graduation as akin to getting off a boat that is taking you on an amazing voyage, where you've had all kinds of adventures, so many that you just can't keep up with the time. And then suddenly, one day, you arrive in the next port, full of mysteries to be explored, and the captain reminds you that this is where you get off. So in trying to figure out what my job is here today to earn this degree, I decided to ask some friends more knowledgeable about making speeches than I am for help. The consensus was that I had certainly led an appealing life, and there were things I'd seen and done that might be of interest to you students and might provide you with some clues for that scavenger hunt of life that you're about to embark upon. Good advice, I thought. I love to fly, surf, play the guitar, sail, enjoy an occasional cocktail. But trying to pick a few pearls of wisdom out of that sack full of life experience oysters, the choices were hard. But I was not worried. I'd been there before, and I knew somehow it would work out. There's a great scene in a classic Tom Stoppard movie called Shakespeare in Love, where Jeffrey Rush, as a memorable character, Philip Henslow, is trying to explain show business, the profession that I stumbled upon right here in Miami, to a potential investor in his play named Hugh Finneman. He says, "Mr. Finneman, allow me to explain about the theater business. The natural condition is one of insurmountable obstacles on the road to imminent disaster." Finneman then asks, "So what do we do?" To which Winslow replies, "Nothing." Strangely enough, it all turns out well. "How?" a puzzled Finneman asks. "I don't know," Henslow replies. "It's a mystery." I think Henslow was talking about trusting the universe personally. Because a few weeks ago, I was driving through Key West on a trip to do a show and rehearse at the San Carlos Theater, and I was listening to Radio Margaritaville when the God of commencement speeches came to me and spoke. Well, I might be exaggerating this divine intervention thing, but that is what writers do. So the truth is, the voice belonged not to a deity, but to Alan Jackson. It was he who gave me the answer I was looking for when he twanged from the radio, "What would Jimmy Buffett do?" As I drove down Duval Street, I shouted back at Alan, "I'll make him a checklist." So as a pilot, I know the importance of checklists when you're at the controls of an airplane. I've also found that they work well in other endeavors. Whether it is writing a set list for a show, packing my gear for a surf trip, or trying to write a commencement address. So, here is your Jimmy Buffett checklist for the ever-elusive future. 1, all things in moderation. This may take a while. But remember this, all right? The road to success is a long, winding road, littered with the wreckage of promising careers that have crashed and burned. In my early days, I was riding that magic bus and making up for lost time, having spent the majority of my teenage years in strict parochial schools in Mobile, Alabama. That ride lasted till around the time I hit 40. I was still feeling pretty bulletproof, but I noticed that hangovers were starting to feel like surgical recovery. My first one of those occurred before a show outside Denver. I haven't ever told this story before, so. Where I cashed in way too many fun tickets the night before a show. Somehow, it all worked out. And I made it through the show, but I was mad at myself for not giving the crowd their money's worth. Nobody in the crowd knew, but I should have. It's not a pretty thing to see talent wasted. It's an even sadder thing to waste it yourself. I knew then that I did not want to be another has-been singer on Behind the Music. That is when I had to reorganize my priorities and remind myself of how lucky I was to call what I do for a living a job. It took a little while, but I got my act together and sailed out of those troubled waters. These days, I am up about the time I used to go to bed. And life is good. Moderation in all things. Two, if you can make your avocation your vocation, your life can be blissful. When I speak at schools all over the country, the question of what it takes to be successful these days always comes up. What I tell students is that I feel there are basically four things I think you need to be successful, not just as a performer, but in life in general, any endeavor. Talent is about 10%. Love, 20. Work ethic, 30. And passion, 40. Passion is the most important ingredient of all to me. Passion, not profit, should always be your guide toward whatever you see as your place in the world. There are no shortcuts to success. You'll need all of these attributes, but to me, passion is the rudder that steers your quest for success. Three, it is time to see the world. Your college days have come to a close, most of you. And you're going to ask yourself, where's all the time going? Well, we can't keep time from melting off the clocks, and all I can say about that is use your time well. So now what? The other big question. Answer, I'm not sure, but sometimes it all works out. In May of 1969, when I last wore a cap and gown to my own graduation from the University of Southern Mississippi, my future was just as elusive as yours, maybe even more so. I was broke up to my neck in overdue college loans. My car had died. I had to pay $300 in parking fines to get my degree. And my draft lottery number was 8. As Country Joe McDonald sang back in those days, the next step over my horizon appeared to be Vietnam. Maybe some of you are looking at similar scenarios. I was thinking that one reason it didn't turn out well for me was that I wanted to use a good portion of my time to see the world. Stories from my grandfather, a ship captain, ignited my curiosity when I was a small child. My wanderlust might be genetic, or I just have a passion for travel. But it's a given fact that we now live on a very active, big round ball. People are traveling more than ever, and the planet has never been more connected. That is the world into which you are going. Millions surf the internet daily, making money, playing games, gathering all kinds of information. To a surfer, that's not really surfing. It's sitting on your ass in front of a computer. Beware of falling into this sedentary trap. It is pretty well accepted that we live in the most influential country on the planet. Yet, only 5% of our nation's 311 million residents have ever left the country. Bruce Chapman sums it up best to me in his book, Song Lines. He writes, "Sluggish and sedentary people, such as the ancient Egyptians, with their concept of an afterlife journey through the field of reeds, project onto the next world the journeys they failed to make in this world."
Interesting.
Do not fail to make your journeys. Virtual anything is not real travel to me. Real travel is lighting out into the territory, good for both body and soul, And yes, there are unpredictable, exciting, and even dangerous times, but such is life. But to me, terror is the absence of humor. A real traveler, according to one of my favorite travelers, Mark Twain, traveling says that it is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow mindedness. You now have a degree, and it's not going anywhere. So hang it on a wall and do some traveling. We are nomads by nature. As William Faulkner put it, the last sounds on the worthless earth will be two human beings trying to launch a homemade spaceship and already quarreling about where they're going next. The way I see it these days, it is time to see the world, time to kiss a girl, and time to cross that wide meridian. 4, be Santa Claus when you can. Just being a graduate of this great university makes you a lot luckier than most. Don't ever take this opportunity as something you deserved. Think of it as a gift that you can repay going forward. Be Santa Claus when you can. Or as Robert Nestor Marley put it, one love, one heart, let's get together and feel all right. That's your checklist. All things in moderation. If you can make your avocation your vocation, you will live a blissful life. It is time to see the world. Be Santa Claus when you can. In closing, I would just like to say that applause is a big part of my job, and it feels good to hear that collective love hit after a show. But applause today should be from you to you for your job well done. So stand up now and give yourselves a big round of applause. Thank you for that. Thank you for making the bar. And I'll see you in the bar.
I'll see you in the bar. See you in the bar.
Thank you.